Good morning, Church. Today's Bible reading is taken from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. That's the end of the passage. Thank you.
Thank you, Manuk. Let's again pray as we come to God's word. Sovereign Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is not silent, but that you have spoken in many and various ways in the past, and in these last days you have spoken to us by your Son. And in him we have life and redemption. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, please speak to us. Please move by your Holy Spirit to unblock our spiritual ears and open our spiritual eyes. And Lord, may we go home with a blessing this morning as we open your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're looking at a short but very encouraging psalm. I think you might know the opening words of this hymn, or some of you will. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Rarely these days do we find songs like this that capture so well the wonder of what God has done for us in Christ, or the sheer joy of a new believer whose heart has just been moved by the knowledge of our Redeemer's love. What a thrill it is. You see, Charles Wesley wrote this hymn way back in 1739. He did it to celebrate the first anniversary of his becoming a Christian. He remembered how God had blessed him. He thought to himself, I have to turn my joy into praise. He didn't do a bad job. Brothers and sisters, my goal today is to inspire you and send you home rejoicing in the Lord. My hope is that your soul will delight in the Lord's greatness, as Charles Wesley did, because today's psalm is all about praising God. This is a hallelujah psalm. Hallelujah is the first word in verse 1. So this whole psalm is a lesson in how to praise the Lord with all our hearts. So let's talk about praise, shall we? What is praise? What is praise? Praise is the act of saying a good word about someone else. In the school, they talk about build-ups rather than put-downs. Praise is saying a good word about someone else. So to praise the Lord is to put into words how I feel about God. To praise the Lord is to tell of his greatness in my eyes. It is to confess my wonder, my delight, my transport, my joy at being loved by him. It is to use my tongue and my lips in a song or in a statement of truth to thank my God, to honour him, bless him, magnify and adore him as my creator, my redeemer and my friend. It is to speak openly of my love for God and to delight my soul in him. That is what real praise is. And now Psalm 111 is a song of praise. It is a hallelujah psalm. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so King David is going to teach us how to praise the Lord with all our hearts, not as an intellectual exercise, but something that wells up from within us. As you can see, it's got a very simple structure. If you've got your Bibles open, it begins with a call to praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it ends with the statement, to him belongs eternal praise. And I want to suggest in the middle, there is a banquet of praise. Isn't it good to be invited to a banquet? We have a banquet of praise this morning. Also, this psalm has been arranged in alphabetical order. There are 22 lines in the psalm. I know you can see there's only 10 verses, but there's actually 22 lines in all. And each of those 22 lines starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet, so that it runs, as it were, from A to Z. Now, this too, I think, is an act of praise. Because actually, it's not easy to write a poem in alphabetical order and keep to the theme. You try writing a poem from A to Z and see how you go. A little different in Hebrew, but you get the idea. And I think also, by doing so, David is making a very useful teaching tool, because it's easier to remember if you go through the letters. So this is a noble task, the task of praising the Lord. And this brings me to my first point for today, reading from verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. As you can see, our psalm begins with a call to worship. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. It's actually a command, an instruction, as much as an expression of delight. David is saying, lift up your hearts to the Lord, people of God. Lift up your voices and let's praise him together, O people of Israel. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Don't hold back. Don't be shy. Don't hide away. King David is setting us an example of how to praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. The word extol is an important word in the vocabulary of praise. And yes, I think that's a good thing to do when you go home. Go and mark out the vocabulary of praise, the different words that are used. You can draw encouragement just by working through this psalm and looking at the vocabulary of praise. Now, the word extol literally means to tell out or to express what you're thinking, to declare the good thoughts of your heart, to extol, to tell out. There's another hymn, tell out my soul. That's what this word is saying, to give expression to how I feel about God. Now, sometimes praise can be mere flattery. We instantly know when it's not authentic, don't we? But not here. David is no hypocrite. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He extols the Lord with all his heart. And I would think as he did it, you'd kind of see that inward joy welling up from within him as he leads the congregation in praise. So in this psalm, the language of praise is pure and honest, and that's why it's so uplifting. David sets the agenda by declaring his intention to extol the Lord with all his heart, publicly and privately, by calling us as God's people to join with him in praising the Lord together. And now, where will David praise the Lord? Where will he praise? Well, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. I don't want to make too much of a distinction between these two places, but perhaps what we have here are public and private meetings. The council is more of a sit-down meeting. It's like a home group, a fellowship meeting, while the assembly is more packed in and standing room only. It's a public assembly. So I guess whether you're gathering to worship at home in a small group, whether you're in a persecuted church, in a home fellowship, or whether you're in a public meeting, as we are this morning on a Sunday, isn't it good to praise the Lord? It's always good to praise the Lord, because he is always good. You can sing. You can pray. You can share a testimony of what God has done in your life. But whatever you do, it's always good to praise the Lord and extol him with all your heart. And by the way, I was thinking about this during the week, the practice of praise has to be good for your mental health. Why? Because the spirit of praise is always positive. There's no darkness in praise. It's all light. If you're grumbling and complaining and muttering, moaning and cursing all the time about how difficult life is and why things aren't the way you want them to be, stop it. Take your eyes off yourself. Look to the Lord and learn to praise him for his goodness and greatness. And I promise you the clouds of unhappiness will soon clear away. I know there are those who struggle with particular issues of depression. But I'm speaking in general here. The practice of praising the Lord is an encouragement to the soul. It refreshes the spirit. It renews the mind. And when I see so many young people today venting their spleen on, you know, various TikTok apps and so on, piercing their bodies and painting themselves black and all different colours and screaming out, it's so selfish. It's so inward looking. It's so unhealthy. The practice of praising the Lord brings encouragement and refreshment to the soul. So let's ponder now what David says in the middle part of the psalm. Ponder this, his works and his word. Let's praise the Lord for the greatness of his works and the glory of his word. So I'm reading from verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Now the word pondered for me isn't strong enough. I know it's in the realm of ponder, but David's goal here is to understand deeply God's character and purposes as best he can. This is about looking at creation and seeing the handiwork of our Creator God, considering the faithfulness of his promises or the love poured out for us on the cross. Ponder isn't strong enough a word for what David has in mind here. I understand there's a laboratory in Cambridge University called the Cavendish Laboratory. It's named after the 18th century chemist and physicist Sir Henry Cavendish. And the laboratory actually has the words of Psalm 111, verse 2, over its entrance as a charter for every believing scientist. But in the old King James Version, which is written over the door, you'll notice it's a little bit sharper. The works of the Lord are great, and then it says, sought out of all of them that have pleasure in them. Sought out. In the old King James Version. And I actually like the English Standard Version even better. It says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who take pleasure in them. Studied, sought out, investigated, researched into, not just skimmed over the surface or pondered and walked past. No, it is an engaging with God deeply, meaningfully, in an unhurried fashion. You see, good science, too, is an act of Christian worship, or it should be. It should be motivated by thinking God's thoughts after him and turning it into praise. And if you've not read John Lennox, I've just brought this book in this morning, God's Undertaker, Has Science Buried God? This is a man who was, and still alive, he is a doctor, he is like a top scientist and physicist in Oxford University. That's he's a real top guy in mathematics and science and cosmology and all those sorts of things, and he's a Christian. So if you want to see has science buried God, that's a great book to look at. He is a man who genuinely thinks God's thoughts after him. And not only science, but really all of life should be like that. Every human endeavour, whether you're looking into history or theology or science or art or literature, all our human pursuits really should be reflections on God's greatness, turning what we learn back into praise for the God who is so infinitely glorious. So personally, I have been challenged this week as I've prepared this passage, challenged to realise that the practice of praise is a thermometer on my own relationship with God. How is your praise life? I don't deny that my heart sometimes wells up with thankfulness to the Lord when I experience some particular deliverance in my life or some specific answer to prayer, but the daily practice of praise can be hard to maintain in that genuine, deep, heartfelt way. Either familiarity breeds contempt or busyness takes me hostage. I don't know about you. But whatever the reason, my thoughts are not so inclined to praise the Lord on a daily basis as they should be. As they should be. I can do better at praising the Lord. And when I ask myself then, how am I going with the Lord? I can examine my own heart in this way. I can ask myself, what has excited me today about God's work or God's word? What have I been blessed by? How has His ministry touched my life? How have I been challenged? And how can I turn this back into praise? How is God's dealings in the world reflected in my praise life? Is my praise forced or free? Am I delighting in the Lord? Or am I consumed by the worries of this world and the busyness of life and writing another sermon for another Sunday or whatever it is that's on your deadline list? Foolish heart, turn back to God and delight yourself again in the greatness of God's work and the glory of His word. Everything God does is great. Even the little things of God are great, like the budding of a flower or the dew on the morning grass. So let's think more about the works of the Lord. What are some of the great works of God? I want you to share with me some examples as we've come this far through the psalm. What are some of God's glorious and majestic deeds? Come on, call them out. Creation, absolutely. A fresh start every day. What was it? I wake up, I get up, and I walk, something to that effect. Those are the three miracles every day that Tom has. Praise the Lord. His common grace to all, yes. He sends sunshine and rain, and He gives food to all, yes. Common grace. Okay, let me show you a list. I've put these up. So I filled up the screen, you see. His work of creation. His covenant with Abraham, the giving of the law, His judgment on sin, the deliverance of His people from slavery in Egypt, His bringing them to the promised land, all His miracles of grace and power, His providing food for His people, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the birth of Jesus, the atonement for sin through Jesus' death on the cross, the power of the resurrection, the gift of eternal life. You see, I could go on, couldn't I? I'm sure you can too, as you start thinking, what are the works and the wonders of God? They can be big ones and they can be little ones, but they're all big because they're all created by such an amazing and creative God. So without being too strict about this, there are at least five excellent reasons in Psalm 111 as to why we should praise the Lord with all our hearts. Why should we do it? As we ponder His works, as we study His word, this is what King David says. He says, God's works and God's words are, number one, glorious and majestic in verse 3, memorable in verse 4, providential in verses 5 and 6, faithful and just in verse 7, and effective and enduring in verses 8 and 9. So I'm compressing them down. Glorious and majestic, memorable, providential, faithful and just, effective and enduring. All of God's works are great in glory and great in majesty. Verse 3, glorious and majestic are His deeds, and His righteousness endures forever. In other words, God does all things well. He is a righteous God. He is our Creator and Redeemer. He is our Saviour and our King. And the more we delight in Him, the more we will want to praise Him. It's John Piper who said, God is most glorified when I am most satisfied in Him. Are you satisfied in God, or are you looking for satisfaction somewhere else? Used to play in a rock band, used to play, I can't get no satisfaction. That old song by those unbelieving rockers. Well, we can find satisfaction. They look in the wrong place. So when you go home today, I want you to make a point. Will you do this for me, of sitting down and reading Psalm 111 again? Read it as a family, read it by yourself, but read it and recall the greatness of God, his works and his word, and turn those thoughts back into praise today. Practice what we're learning. Use the language of praise to express your heartfelt love for the Lord. There's one thing we should learn today, it is that our salvation rests entirely in the hands of a gracious and compassionate God who has not left us without hope. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. And he is not willing that any shall perish, but that all should turn to him and live. And that's why every good Christian should be a student of history, because our God is a God of history who brings these promises to light and then brings them to reality. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. Do you see that also? He has caused his wonders to be remembered. And he has given us his word in the Bible, which sets forth the way to salvation and eternal life. And that's why we praise him, because salvation is found in no one else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, with King David this morning, let's praise God for his works of salvation as well as creation, and for the fact that he has caused those works to be recorded in history. You know, archaeologists agree that the Hebrew language is one of the oldest languages in the world, and that the Hebrew people are some of the earliest people in the world to use writing. It's no surprise, actually, because the art of writing was invented, as so far as we understand, in ancient Mesopotamia, very near the city of Ur, which just happens to be where Abraham came from. God's people have always been a people of the word. And so David praises the Lord again in verse 4. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. But wait, there's more. God is not only our creator and our redeemer, he is also our great provider, as Kim called out. The providence of God is another of his great works, for by his providence he meets our daily needs. He is not only the God of the universe, the creator of the sun, the moon and the stars, but he is the Lord and shepherd of his people, and he cares for every need we have. Well, there's prayer points, isn't it, for the persecuted church to experience these blessings and to be able to turn them into praise. He gives us the food we eat. He gives us the places we live. For example, the Israelites received manna in the desert, gifts of food without which they could not have survived, as well as the gift of the promised land, which he gave them though they didn't deserve it. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. So let me ask you this. If you know that God is the one who gives you your daily food, what should you do before you eat it? Thank him. Yes. How often do I see Christians jumping into their meals without stopping to think who gave it to them? There's something that you can change very simply. When you have lunch today, say a little prayer of thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive. Praise you, Father, for my daily bread. Amen. God is the giver of all good gifts, but how thankful are you for them? Are you thankful for your home, your family, your school, your good health, your abilities, your daily bread? Are you thankful, really? God's providence includes all these things and much more. And each of them is another reason to praise him and extol him with all your heart. And so in verse 7, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. You know, isn't it good to know that our God is not a tyrant or a dictator? He doesn't change his mind or change his word from one day to the next. He's trustworthy. He keeps his promises. He rules with justice. He's faithful and true, and all his precepts are trustworthy. Wouldn't it be good to have a government like that, where all their precepts are trustworthy? Wow! A good government. For this is the nature of God's word. And this is to God's glory too, that he doesn't lie or deceive us. Everything he says, trustworthy. We ourselves have no power, no ability, no strength to save ourselves, but he is faithful and just, and when we confess our sins and turn to him, he saves us. What a God, what a Saviour. Another important aspect of God's character can be seen in his holy and awesome name. Remember, Moses asked God, "Can I see your glory?" And God said, "I'll tell you my name. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished," and so on. God never forsakes us. He never gives up on us any more than a loving parent would give up on their own child. And yet how terrible when we see that contradicted. When people, children, become to the Lord and their parents reject them. That's utterly horrific. We see how contrary it is to God's heart. So great is God's faithfulness that in Christ he took the penalty we deserve. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is another powerful and life-changing truth once you understand it. When it comes to God, salvation is his middle name. Indeed, Jesus, the name Jesus, means God saves. So today we've been reminded of the greatness of the Lord, both in word and in deed, in creation and redemption, in providence and in power, in faithfulness and in holiness. Our lives are constantly in his hands, from the cradle to the grave. And now the only question that remains is, how will I respond to this God, whose work of redemption is so effective and enduring? Well, I guess you'll either love him or hate him, but whatever you do, you can't ignore him. Again, as Charles Wesley wrote in that famous hymn, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." And again, you see, that's why we praise him. As the psalmist says in verse 9, listen to this, "He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever and ever. Holy and awesome is his name." So now the only right response at this point is to worship him, which brings me to our final point today, verse 10. To him belongs eternal praise. It is right that we should praise him. The study of God's greatness should lead me to a right understanding of my place in God's world. This is my Father's world, and wisdom teaches me to reverence him with a holy fear, with pure lips and a clean heart. As we read in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Well, I said at the start this morning, my goal is to send you home rejoicing in the Lord. I hope that you are. May it be so. May the praise of your lips increase in warmth, in richness, and in joy as you learn the vocabulary of praise. May your heart's desire for fellowship with God be enlarged, and may your spirit be renewed and revitalized within you by what you've learnt from God's word today. And now let's remember some of the things you can do to make praise a greater priority in your life moving forward. Here are 7 suggestions to warm your heart. 7 suggestions to warm your heart. Number 1, you can simply look around you and take delight in the glory of a budding flower or the breeze in your face. Enjoy God's world and the good things in it. Of course, number 2, you can dig deeper into God's word and discover more about God's plan of salvation, because as you discover the richness of his grace, your heart will be ever more moved to thankfulness and praise. If you're feeling low and you can't do anything else, at least you can put on some good Christian music and sing along. Let the praises of others inspire you, just as Psalm 111 is a song of praise. You could share your personal testimony with a friend, praising God for what he's done in your life. Of course, you can give thanks to God for every meal you eat, just renewing that spirit of gratitude. You can start a prayer journal to track your thoughts. Why, you could even write a poem about the greatness of the Lord. Do something artistic, for our God is very artistic. Get creative. Praise the Lord. These are just some ideas that came to mind for me. Perhaps you've got others. But now I want to show you where this psalm leads, for there will never be a time when God is not praised and worshipped and adored by his people. So to finish up, I'm going to read to you from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 15, you'll find an unforgettable scene where the whole church from every age and every generation is gathered together before the throne of God in heaven, and they're singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, a song that centres on the great and glorious deeds of the Lord, just like Psalm 111 does. It is a beautiful song of praise, and it goes like this. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. There will never be a time when God is not worshipped and adored by his people. So don't waste the opportunity. You can begin today. Use Psalm 111 as a blueprint to praise the Lord with all your heart, and may God bless you with a closer, richer walk with him. Make praise a priority in your life, for to him belongs eternal praise. Go home, reread Psalm 111 today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of praise by which we can turn everything that you do back into a response that brings our relationship with you alive in a wonderful and enriching way. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget to thank you, honour you, respect and adore you. When we are taken away, our attention is drawn to the things of this world and the fears of our hearts, and we become miserable. Oh Lord, lift that misery from our souls. Help us to look up and see the risen Lord Jesus Christ, to take on the suggestions that will warm our hearts so that whatever life brings, we will be a people of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.